Chapter 9. Orbital, Aeolith, 3 hours later. They took him to a cell in the brig deck of the Blamires and had him strip. Then they made him watch as they shredded his clothing and dismantled every piece of his equipment. After that, they locked him in an iron restraint chair. They did not speak once the entire time. After a while, when he realized that they weren't ever going to answer him, he stopped asking questions. From that point, the processing continued in silence. The hatch opened. Dinas Chain entered the cell, accompanied by a burly officer of the brig and 2 assistants in floor-length plastic aprons. Chain conversed quietly with the 3 companions who had brought Bronzy in and processed him. He turned to the painfully restrained Hetman.
Hurtado Bronzy.
Bronzy said nothing.
You are detained on suspicion of being a covert operative of the Astartes Alpha Legion, said Chain. The Lord Commander takes a dim view of spies and of internecine espionage. If you are found to be working for the Astartes, it will be considered a gross act of disloyalty to your regiment, the Imperial Army, the Expedition, and the Lord Commander. Do you have anything to say?
Bronzy flexed his throat and jaw against the iron bars, trapping them.
This is a mistake, he said. This is wrong. You've got the wrong man.
Chain remained impassive. He walked across to the metal side table where the debris of Bronzy's clothing and kit sat in boxes. He reached into one and produced the green metal scale. He held it up to make sure Bronzy could see it.
I don't know what that is, Bronzy said. You've planted it there.
Chain returned the scale to the box and walked back to his prisoner. He pointed his right index finger at the brand mark on Bronzy's right hip.
And that, Hetman? Did I plant that too?
Bronzy scowled.
You are in no position to equivocate, Bronzy, said Chain. Tell me your secret.
Bronzy gritted his teeth. Very slowly and deliberately, he said,
My name is Hurtado Bronzy.
He looked at Chain and winked.
There, I've said it, he smiled. I've said it and I can never take it back. The secret's out.
Don't annoy me, Bronzy, said Chain. Tell me the rest.
Ah, the rest, said Bronzy. Well, if I must, sir.
All the deep-range scopes began to sound contact alerts. Van Unger, master of the expedition fleet, got up from the leather throne in the middle of the Blamires' wide main bridge and strode across to the tracking station.
What's this? He asked.
Contact echo, sir, the tracking officer replied. An object just appeared on the scopes, inbound to 42 Hydra Tertius.
Appeared? Van Unger repeated.
I don't understand it, sir, the tracking officer replied, adjusting his control panels with fast, expert hands. There are no energetic or magnetic profiles that would suggest a real space translation. The object just appeared. I speculated it was previously cloaked.
Track it and project full assessment, Van Unger ordered.
Yes, sir, replied the officer.
General quarters! Van Unger called out. Shields and batteries to stand by!
A klaxon started to sound. The bridge staff, over 100 officers, bustled to their stations, their voices overlapping as they exchanged data and instructions.
Trajectory projection, the tracking officer announced. Main display, Van Unger replied.
The primary hololithic display lit up with a complex graphic diagram of the planet, the position of the fleet components, and the sweeping vector of the object.
That will take it directly to the venue zone, Van Unger murmured. Have you identified vessel type or designation?
Negative, sir, the tracking officer replied. It doesn't even read like a vessel. It's inert on all scans. It's... Oh, terror! What? I'm marking it in excess of 0.8 superluminal. And it's big, sir. It's at least as big as we are. Battle stations, Van Anger cried. Raise shields!
The klaxon changed tone immediately. Van Anger activated his vox wand.
My lord Namajira, he said.
What's going on, Fleetmaster? The Lord Commander's voice came back.
An unknown craft of significant displacement is about to cut right across the fleet, inbound to the planet.
Mobilize the picket, Namajira ordered. Interdict it now.
It's moving too fast, sir, Van Anger said. I've never seen anything like it.
Fleetmaster, I want you to...
Namajira's voice was lost in a wash of static. Every screen on the bridge station suddenly milked out, and the main lights died. In the darkness that followed, a violent vibration shook through the mighty flagship for a few seconds. The lights came back on. One by one, the screens came back to life.
Van Anger! Van Anger!
Namajira's voice blurted from the vox.
What in the name of the Emperor just happened?
It went past us, sir, replied Van Anger. Whatever it was, it just went right past us.
Honan Mu cried out. When Che turned to look, he thought she'd slipped over on the wet rock. Then he saw that her aides were down too. He ran back over the flat-topped rocks to reach her. He began to feel it, too, through the sept. All the men felt it, and they had come to a halt.
What is it? What is it, Uxor? He asked.
She was down on her hands and knees, shivering with pain.
I don't know,
she gasped, shaking her head. Huddled on the ground behind her, her aides were sobbing and wailing. Thunder rolled. Che and the Jokers looked up at the overcast sky and the thick banks of cloud.
Is it a storm? Asked one.
More thunder, deep and heavy, shook out. The echo it left rolled down the wide valley that the Jokers were still only halfway across. A wind began to pick up, strong and lusty and wet cold. Their banners and capes flapped, spray lifted off the puddles and pools in the rocks around them. Thunder sounded again, as if the sky was splitting. This time, Che and his men saw lightning flare above the clouds, backlighting them. The pulsing discharges made it look as if the clouds were on fire inside. The men started to point at the sky and cry out.
Holy fog, Che mumbled.
A city was falling out of the sky on top of them. At first, it was a great copper dish, half as wide as the visible sky. Streaks of luminous white and blue pulsed out from the centre of the dish to its rim and back. The rim was turning like a spinning top and flashing with iridescent patterns. The dish passed overhead, plunging them into shadow. It made an infrasonic murmur that quaked their internal organs and made them involuntarily squeal in fear. There was a smell of ozone and sizzling bolts of forked lightning seared down from the clouds all along the length of the valley. The copper dish, so vast that the very size of it was terrifying, swung in over the monolithic black cliffs of the shivering hills and slowly descended. Now they could see its upper surface, where giant copper structures resembling fans and leaves bloomed like a cyclopean abstract water lily from the top of the dish. It sank lower and lower until the spinning dish was obscured by the cliffs. There was a colossal boom that shook the ground under them and caused splinters of rock to topple over and come crashing down the face of the black cliffs. The dish had set down somewhere beyond the hill line. They could see the golden fans and petals of its upper structure rising above the shivering hills, like the spires and monuments of some heavenly city. Stray lightning continued to spark and flicker in the clouds, but the wind dropped as quickly as it had risen. Che helped Mu to her feet. Blood was seeping from her left nostril. They gazed in silent awe at the gilded shapes of the new skyline.
What is it? Che asked.
Honan Mu had no answer for him. Namat Jira slowly studied the orbital pictures.
It's huge, he murmured.
A Xenos-form vehicle of some kind, nodded Van Aunger. I'm afraid we can't determine any details apart from its size. It is resistant to our probes.
It has landed precisely at the location Alpharius instructed me to secure, said Namat Jira.
Yes, sir, said Van Aunger. Inside the Shivering Hills area, at the heart of the atmospheric anomaly, and directly upon structures that our scans identified as artificial.
So, the Lord Commander mused, the Cabal has arrived and shown itself.
My Lord? Asked Van Aunger.
Namat Jira looked up from the pictures.
Return to the bridge, Fleet Master. Set the fleet to a war footing. Charge all main battery weapons and target that object. You will only commence bombardment on my instruction.
Sir, we have significant ground troop deployments adjacent to that craft, said Van Aunger. They would most likely be caught in any orbital bombardment we unleashed. I told you this, Lord Commander, before the day began. I told you that bombardment tactics would
charge all main battery weapons and target that object. Hissed Namat Jira. Is that too complex an order for you? Should I break it down? Target that object. If that's beyond you, expect to be stripped of your mastery with immediate effect. I understand Admiral Kalkoa is eager to rise to fleet command.
Van Aunger glared at Namat Jira, made a sullen namaste, and left the lookout. Namat Jira sat down on one of the window couches and stroked the flank of his gene-bred pet. Chain entered the lookout and dismissed the companion on duty.
Did you see? Asked Namat Jira.
Chain nodded.
The Cabal is clearly more potent than we feared.
They're not playing by Alpharius's rules either, said the Lord Commander. This is not the schedule the Primarch told me to expect. He anticipated that our ground forces would have the area surrounded and in our control before...
He paused.
Sir?
Asked Chain.
Unless he lied to me, said Namat Jira. Unless he is already making contact with the Cabal and learning their precious secrets for himself.
Namat Jira rose. He crossed the lookout and poured a flute of wine, sipped it, and then dashed the glass against the window ports with a snarl of fury.
He plays us, he growled. He plays us and uses us. Everything he promised me, the honour, the glory, the Emperor's gratitude, was that all lies too?
Chain shrugged.
I have not trusted the Astartes Alpha Legion from the start, sir. They do not practice the codes of nobility and honour shown by the other legions Astartes. I believe their operation and conduct should be reported to the Council of Terror, pending censure or dissolution. It wouldn't be the first time a legion Astartes has overstepped the mark, after all. They must be stopped and held accountable before they become too powerful.
Namat Jira nodded thoughtfully.
Agreed, and I will be the one to bring the matter directly to the Emperor's attention. Perhaps then I can salvage some of my reputation. We need to find them culpable, Dinas. We need firm evidence of their miscreant nature. I need to know precisely what they're doing and what infernal compact they are making with these Xenoform bastards.
Chain poured another drink and handed it to his master.
Thank you, Dinas, Namat Jira replied.
He began to pace.
We already have evidence of their espionage, sir, said Chain. I have detained an officer of the Geno 5-2 Chiliad and have manifest proof that he has been working as an operative of the Alpha Legion.
In our own damn ranks?
The man is bronzy, sir.
It is shocking to discover that the Alpha Legion has infiltrated at the highest operational level.
Namat Jira nodded.
That's a start. Good. You have interrogated him?
He is resisting us, my lord, stoically. But my men are very skilled and patient. I do not know how much longer a man, even a man of bronze's considerable constitution, can withstand such levels of pain.
Give me a link to the Primarch, Dinas, Namat Jira said. Person to person. Let's see what new lies he chooses to spin me, and see if we can't establish his location while we listen to them. Prepare the Lucifer Blacks for teleport assault.
Chain saluted.
And Dinas?
Yes, sir.
Show this Bronzy no mercy, said Namat Jira. Break him, mind, body and soul, and pluck his secrets from him.
Yes, my lord, replied Dinas Chain.